Classic Hits, 101.7, Jim, Carrie, and Angie in the morning. And this morning, it's a pleasure to have Congressman Mark Sauder on the phone here. Congressman, good morning. Good to talk with you again.
Yeah, good morning to you. I enjoyed many of our conversations for well over a decade, almost two.
It's been great. And when you were in office, you always were available to talk to us. You've been on the air with us many times, so we appreciate that. And I see now in your time away from Washington that you are actually writing a book, or you wrote a book along with Heather Herron and Melissa Long about Fort Wayne Television. And this is, I've got to say, I've got a copy of it. I bought my own copy. And it is a wonderful coffee table book, and especially if you've grown up in Fort Wayne, it has got some amazing stories in there and pictures. How did you find all of this?
Well, the challenge was my conception was based on this. Basically, you are in the TV marketing area, which then leads into radio and newspapers, the golden zone, so to speak, defines who you are. And I learned this when about a third of my market when they added Elkhart and Kosciuszko County plus Western LaGrange and Western Noble went into the South Bend market. One third of the voters were suddenly in a new market. They'd never heard of Grable. They didn't care about Glenbrook. They didn't know the same high schools. The floods and rainstorms and snowstorms were different. I knew all this from a Notre Dame student, but all of a sudden it was clear as a bell that it's like the world drops off at the end. And if it wasn't shown on television, it didn't necessarily become a communal experience. The video, audio, pictures kind of define whether an event was going to be a shared memory or something that might have been your neighborhood or your town. And so I thought this is a good time with the changing nature of how video is being distributed to look at the arc of the three networks and now how it's splintered and the rise to that. That's what the origin of the book was.
Okay.
And so we put it together because, guess what? The way they used to show video in the 50s and 60s, you don't have machines anymore that can read it, even if the stuff existed. The videotape was lost by the stations. What exists is extremely repetitive and boring, to be frank. And so what we did was we saw people's stories. We sought out image collections, bought old TV guides, looked at broadcast news online, went to newspapers.com online and in the library, and you assemble a collection to show how video covered the major events. And now we have a keepsake.
Well, it's called Television in Fort Wayne, 1953 to 2018. It's available on Amazon.com and some other local book retailers, which we'll get to here in a minute. But I wanted to focus one area on, and I think for a lot of us and our listeners, the age of television that they'll remember the most is probably starting with the local news and the way the local news evolved, mainly in the mid-1970s. And is that's the first sign of eyewitness news, right?
Right. For the older part of your market, which I would now be part of, the baby boomers who started baby boomers right after World War II, the defining moment was the John F. Kennedy assassination, because all of a sudden national news went live. It used to just be 5 minutes locally and scattered at different points of the day, but all of a sudden people learned the power, particularly when Jack Ruby was shot while on air. And then also the fascination with the space program. A lot of people don't realize that programs like Star Trek and Lost in Space and the Jetsons went prime time right after one of the astronauts, I think it was Glenn, circled the Earth. Mm-hmm. All the network programming was on space-related things tied to different launches because of the space program. Well, that led to local news that had been chopped in different segments throughout the day. Sometimes there would be a cartoon show or Nat King Cole in between the news and weather. Eyewitness News, ABC, what then was called the Almost Broadcasting Network, was in a weak third place. And they did some studies that said people were getting resentful of the power of Walter Cronkite, Eric Severide, Huntley Brinkley, and the dominant core, and wanted a more populist, street-based way. And they came up with things like showing the scene of the city behind. That started in Miami. Having what Walter Cronkite denounced as happy talk, where you had the news anchors talking to each other. They added women, by the way, for the first time, minorities for the first time, in prominent positions. They talked to the weather person who was in the same broadcast on the same set. They started to do soft news segments of stories about people, and it resonated. In spite of being denounced by CBS and NBC as soft stuff, they, in every major market driven up at the local level, started taking over number one in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and ways in between. And in Fort Wayne, because Ed Metcalf was the head, who was the local WPTA general manager when Combined Communications bought it from Sarkis Tarzian, that he brought it to Fort Wayne. And he was head of the national affiliates. And so Fort Wayne was hooked up with some the first Eyewitness News label, because Combined Communications owned a station in Denver and Atlanta and huge markets. And so we rode along, and we were one of the pioneers in that.
That was right. That was Channel 21 did Eyewitness News in the 70s and in early 80s, and then they switched over to 21 Alive for a long time, right?
Right. And sometimes they've wandered back in between both of them. Just like Eric Olson's 21 Country was started by Ron Houston's 21 Country, but I remember from doing the Grable Country Fair that they used 21 Country pretty generically, along with their Eyewitness News and so on. Those slogans were meant to be active verbs. Eyewitness.
Yes, alive. Yeah, things like that.
And bringing you a different type of approach to news. And in that wave, they lost local entertainment program because everything started to convert over to news. In fact, Art Salzberg and Jack Maurer did one of the first morning-noon news combinations in America in 1981.
And then in Fort Wayne, I think one of the biggest impacts that, the book talks about is how we got through and how the city of Fort Wayne turned to its television stations to get through the blizzard of 1978.
Yeah, that was fascinating. We had one session where Steve Corona and Art Salzberg and Jack Maurer, who all had been involved in television, Steve was news director at Wayne TV at the time.
Yeah.
Art was the news director at WoWo, as WoWo was still very powerful in news at that point. And Jack Maurer was at WME, which was the second largest news staff in the city, even greater than TV at that point. And how they all dealt with the storm in different ways, and their funny story, which the funniest was Steve Corona's wife was pregnant, and towards the latter stages, so he made her go with him, and then they had the vehicle that they were in couldn't get them all the way to the station, so they walked the last mile or so. With fortunately, she didn't deliver in the blizzard walking, but it was really interesting to hear them talk about those challenges from the perspective of different media outlets.
Yeah, it was.
And the way we did the book was we let the people tell their stories.
It is. If the book is divided into several sections, and it's got stories, and I guarantee you, if you're listening to this and you grew up in Fort Wayne, you'll love reading through a lot of the stories and looking at a lot of the pictures that are in there. And it talks about from the beginning of the beginning, 1953, all the way to what's happening today and how news has changed in the Summit City in 2018.
With lots of fun stories thrown in there.
Yeah.
I was involved all my life in television. I was on Youth Ask when I was still at Leo High School in the 60s. One of them was when we named the Mastodons, and we used television to, we didn't tell the administration. All of a sudden, it's in 33 countries the next morning, and they told me to eat all the memos where they had told me not to move fast. The Geology Club had come up with an idea. It was being resisted to be called the Mastodons, and we jammed it. And it tells how the power of once they saw it on television. I got a message that night that said to destroy all our records, telling me to go slow, to little tidbits that to me were fascinating. For example, the first female anchor in New York, Roseanne Scarmadella, became an anchor, and that weekend Rosanna Dana appeared on Saturday Night Live.
Oh my gosh.
The Eyewitness News anchor in Los Angeles looks amazingly like Ted Knight because Ted Knight on Mary Tyler Moore Show was patterned after him. And those kind of things, those tie-togethers, really bring out how much commonality we had in when there were fewer stations and we were all watching roughly the same thing.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is Dick the Bruiser. I don't like wrestling, but all of, why do I know Dick the Bruiser? You know, it's because Channel 33 at one point is the first station and the dominant station in the first decades showed three wrestling shows, including doing live wrestling at the station, of which Bill Nichols tells unbelievable stories about Dick the Bruiser. One time he was acting like wrestling guys go, went up towards Hilliard, who was broadcasting, Hilliard Gates, and slammed his head on the table looking real angry, but he was acting. But there was a nail head slightly coming up from the table, and blood started spurting out of his head, and then he got really mad. Hilliard was panicking. But it's that type of story that makes the news come alive.
Television in Fort Wayne, Congressman Mark Sauter, 1953 to 2018, and your co-authors Melissa Long and Heather Herron. And Congressman, I want to mention, of course, you can get the book on Amazon.com, but let me run down the list of local booksellers where you can get it right now. At Hyde Brothers on Wells, you can get this at the History Center, at Visit Fort Wayne, at Regal's, of course, at Sauter's General Store in Grable, and at Carbaugh Jewelers in Auburn, Indiana. So those are places around here you can pick it up. But if you want to search for it, you can also find it on Amazon.com right now. And it's a great book. I vouch for it. I'm enjoying it. I'm about halfway through, but I'm all the way through looking at all the pictures. So
there's 500 of them.
Yeah, I know. There are. There are a lot of them. So get your book and enjoy it and relive a little bit of our past here in Fort Wayne with regards to television. And Congressman, always a pleasure. Thank you for being on with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for your years of helping entertain Fort Wayne.
Oh, thank you very much.